Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Facebook Watch is giving it up for Steve Harvey. Just a few weeks into season 2 of the Steve on Watch series. What's next? Executive producer and showrunner Andy Jones joins me next. Make room underwater, SpongeBob SquarePants. Nickelodeon has a new Under the Waves tune on display. Santiago of the Seas. Co-creator executive producer Valerie Walsh-Valdez sails with us next half hour. Also ahead, much more Cobra Con coming up and our classic trivia question. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio education, information, and entertainment that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us this Friday afternoon for the program about TV's current and future. 63 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Two wonderful guests coming away over the next 60 minutes, and we invite you, as always, to be interactive with them and us. All you have to do is pick up the phone and then use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere you're texting across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is up for business, as always, and we want to hear from you through it. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can catch it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you, of course, can connect with others. Just use Facebook Timeline. It's very simple. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and they can be live with you and, of course, with us. And Andy Jones from Steve on Facebook Watch will join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Netflix has organized the future of Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid-inspired hit series picked up from YouTube Premium. Season 3 will premiere January 8th, with a fourth season in the works. Ralph Macchio and William Zabka will be back in their iconic roles while continuing on as co-executive producers. Now some quickies before our first guest. Matt Olmstead is out as showrunner of NBC's Law & Order SVU spin-off Organized Crime with Christopher Maloney. NBC maintains the series will get to viewers before mid-2021. Peacock will introduce a news commentary channel to its offering Monday, titled The Choice. Docu-comedy miniseries How to Win with John Wilson arrives on HBO Max October 23rd. And South Park's recent pandemic special pulled in more than 4 million viewers, the most for any South Park episode since 2013. The episode was carried not just on Comedy Central, but on other Viacom CBS-owned cable networks. And that is news notes for today. Steve Harvey is once again doing his thing on Facebook Watch, which is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, including Facebook's own Portal TV. It started its second season a couple of weeks ago, and joining us live to talk about it from West Hollywood, California, is the executive producer and showrunner, Ianthi Jones. Ianthi, welcome aboard.
Hi, Simon. Nice to be here.
Same here. How's it going, putting Steve through his paces in season 2?
Things are going well. It's a little bit of a different season 2. I think it's the same for many of us in this industry that are adapting to our new normal. But all things considered, going very well.
Well, how has the pandemic and the new normal we're all trying to get to, how has that impacted Steve and how has it impacted the series in terms of the guests you have on and the interest he has?
Right. I think in terms of how the pandemic has impacted Steve, I think I can say this freely because he said it freely. He's excited to get out of the house a little bit, even though we're actually taping in his house. But he is excited to roam around freely and see a few different faces on a regular basis. So he certainly has, I think, a new sense of invigorated him in a way that is probably different from seasons past. And as far as how we maneuver and put everything together, I mean, I was just speaking to someone earlier today about, you know, I utilize about 5 different devices just to produce the show because we are doing it remotely. And so there are some challenges that come with that. But at the same time, it has really forced us and challenged us to think outside of the box and creatively and in an innovative way about how we produce our content.
obviously, this show itself is out of the box. It's the first time that someone like Steve has done something like this for Facebook Watch. What led him to give it a try?
I think what led him to give it a try is an opportunity to, you know, one door closed, another one opened, and having the ability to be able to truly embrace who he really is and all of his great talents and strengths in one place, and highlight the best of what he does in this specific genre of, you know, in this specific genre of content. It allows him to really shine and focus on the things that his fans love most about him.
Mm-hmm. And you would know, because you worked with Steve on his former NBC Universal distributed syndicated Talk Hour, which ran first on the Steve Harvey Show, then became Steve, the sort of a more of a talk variety, a more emphasis on comedy oriented interaction in the last 2 years. What has he taken from that experience into Steve on Watch, either in terms of who he is and also the kind of guests and people he talks with?
Right. I mean, with my involvement, it really became, I'm big on storytelling, whether that story is told over an arcing, you know, hour or a segment, or whether it's 2 or 3 minutes, there's still a story to be told, and his connection with people. And so I think what I've learned from that experience in our syndicated version into this version, it's not that it's that much of a departure on the stories. I think it's a honing in and a distilling of, again, what people connect with most about him and how he connects most with people. He's a real guy. He's a down-to-earth guy. He doesn't make any bones about that. He's very direct in that way. But there's also, he finds the humor in the human experience, and I think people who really like him appreciate that and understand that that's where he's coming from. And he's also going to be very honest with you and give you the honest version, and sometimes that's through a comedic filter, and sometimes it's through that very heartfelt filter. So that is what that's honestly what we really capitalize on with him, and that's where he shines. That's where he really shines. The man's just, he's extremely talented, and I've never laughed as hard as I've laughed since I have worked with him. It is, he brings great joy to all of us. Trust me.
Feel the same way I am, see, when he does Family Feud and Celebrity Family Feud, which just started a new season, Family Feud and Syndication. I think he's doing a show out of Atlanta again, which I understand Steve on Watch is also out of Atlanta, and then Celebrity Family Feud,
right,
which started last week, its latest season on ABC with new episodes. And you talk about this comedic filter, that really comes, I think that's the reason why Harvey clicked on Family Feud, because of that comedic filter. You really get sort of, when the people give their answers, no matter how outlandish they are, you get the immediate reaction from Steve, and he's able to immediately play it for comedic worth.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you bring that up, because you're 100% correct. You cannot, like I said, he can't fake it. It is what it is. Like, his face, sometimes he has to catch himself, and he realizes, he's like, wait, did I just, okay, I'm sorry, that was my inside voice, you know, coming out. But that is truly who he is. The facial expressions you see, the things that come out of his mouth are 100%. He is unscripted. This man is unscripted. My job and our job and my team's job is to tee him up to just be who he is, and that's it. Present him with the right people and the right scenarios, and then he just runs with it on his own. It's all him, and he's just great at it. And again, it's all of those moments, the things that come out of his mouth, the facial expressions that he makes, that I think connect with people, because many people are sitting at home or on their mobile device, and they're feeling the same way, like, wait, did they just say that? Wait, did that really happen? And he's there expressing it for all of us in that moment.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Anthy Jones. She is the executive producer and showrunner of Steve Harvey's popular series on Facebook Watch, Steve on Watch, now in Season 2, which started last month. And you can catch that on Facebook Watch on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, including Facebook's own Portal TV, which marks its first anniversary in a couple of weeks. And you joined us live in the West Hollywood section of L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Adam will be live from New York. Thank you for joining us this Friday right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We're also on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, among other places. And we invite you to be in the conversation. Just give us a call, 646 972-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Big 90-minute show coming your way to kick off the week on Monday. First up, the first of two segments next week about the North Fork TV Festival. It may end up being not only the only television festival in the New York metro area, but the only one that happens live via a drive-in format. We'll talk with two of the key people making that festival happen. Elias Paganos, he's the artistic director, and Kathleen Burr, the producer of one of the pilots being showcased on Super User Do. And then we hope to have the winning pilot on our show on Friday. And then we'll talk about a new series that is new for the United States, but not new for CBC and Canada. In fact, today marks the start of Season 2 of Destination Adventure, one of the most unique family shows up in Canada. We'll talk with the co-pays and executive producers, Joe Hickok and Lauren Corbin. Their show will premiere later this month on HBO Max. And finally, we've got another new network running on smart TV sets and devices to show you. It's called Bespoke TV. We've got the co-founder, chief executive officer, Michael Dutcher, will be with us. That's all coming up on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And the following Monday, my lead guest will be from the ABC revival of Supermarket Sweep, premiering October 18th. We will have executive producers Alicia Rossler and Wes Coble. That's coming up a week from today, exclusively right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Who are some of the guests that or topics that Steve has focused on so far in this season two?
Some of our guests have been, we've had Gabrielle Union, and that was a tremendous story about a young girl who was just showing pride in her hair texture, which was a beautiful story to see, and she and her personal stylist, Larry Sims, surprised this young girl and just made her dreams come true, which was wonderful. And Gabrielle had such a beautiful message for young girls out there about just embracing who they really are and loving themselves and not letting anyone, you know, kind of get in the way of that. And to teach young girls that from an early age, I think it's really important. Kenan Thompson is coming up. And if anyone knows Kenan Thompson from SNL, he's brilliant and does great impersonations, but also a hilarious impersonation of Steve Harvey himself. So that was a fun conversation that they were able to have about their history together and about those impersonations. We had Stephen Curry surprised a young basketball phenom. We had some really great celebrity moments that have fused beautifully with a lot of our real people stories, and those stories are, you know, stories of triumph, you know, young people who have overcome obstacles to go on to become. One gentleman was a high school senior who was homeless and became the valedictorian of his high school class president and now is off to college on a scholarship. Just really beautiful stories about, I think, people in their own communities doing extraordinary things. And even seniors living their best life is another thing that we love to do on our show. I think people oftentimes don't give them a lot of credit or discount them in the sense of, they're older, et cetera. But to be able to see them coming to life on social media and as vibrant as they are is a beautiful thing for us to see, too, and for Steve to embrace. So we just have a lot of fun. I think, like I said, it's a lot of heart mixed with a lot of humor.
One of the newest episodes, I believe it came out this week, features a rapper who was born in Nigeria, has moved to the United States,
yes,
and come up with a viral, it's called Try Jesus, that really
Toby,
inspired
Toby
Harvey.
Toby Wewe. Yes, that was Toby Wewe. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was extremely popular on Instagram and social, and it was interesting because a few weeks prior to us taping that, Steve came to me and he sent me a text. He's like, "Hey, have you heard this thing?" And I said, "Yes, I saw it on Instagram." He says, "Oh, this guy is so cool. I'd love to talk to him." So that's what I do. I hop on it. And so does my team. We have a great team of producers. And we connected with Toby and his team, and they had a great interview. And it's those moments that connect directly with Steve. He's best when he is talking to someone he's legitimately inspired by. I mean, that's 100% real. I mean, he's he really heard it. He saw it on Instagram, and he connected with it, and to be able to have that conversation with him about using his music to inspire a generation was a really important conversation for Steve to be able to have.
Going back to Family Feud for a second, some of my favorite outtakes or segments that you see on YouTube, particularly in the last year or two, are those where Steve gets very angry with certain parts of his persona listed in crazy ways on the board when the board gets flipped. And he's had a couple of situations where he has said on camera, you know, oh, you board operator, you think this is really funny. If I see that on the board, I'm walking out of here. You know, if I see that, I'm going to tear the board down, that kind of thing. Has he done anything on that on Steve on Watch where he's like sort of played around with, you know, if you do this, I'm going to like walk off the set or I'm shutting the camera down, that kind of thing?
In the most loving and most fun-loving way, sure. He might make a few jokes. Steve is about lightening the mood on the set, and sometimes he can feel when he's like, it just feels like he needs to interject to lighten the mood, and he likes to keep the staff and crew on their toes and make sure that, hey, everybody's awake over here, everybody good. So he just kind of messes with us, quite frankly. But I've never had a moment where he's really, it's certainly not serious or real. I don't know, at least on our set at Steve on Watch, it's usually done in a very, you know, in a very humorous way, you know?
Yeah. And I know it is very humorous because he like has this running thing with the show producers over the fact that their answers he thinks won't be on the board, and dang, they're up on the board. And he's like, you know, oh my God, what happened to me? Or
right,
or kind of thing. You have had a very interesting career in the world of particularly daytime television. You've had some really heavyweights of the field that you've dealt with, like Dr. Phil, like Queen Latifah, a number of others. How did you get into the field in the first place? And when you look at, you know, the people you've dealt with, all those, plus now Steve Harvey, what do you think?
Yeah, how I got into the field is interesting. I started off probably more of a wanting to be on the other side of the camera, but as a young person out of college, I my degree is in broadcast communications and public relations, and I realized that there is, I think, an ability to really be able to create beautiful narratives from the other side. And I realized that I wanted to become the decision-making process for me personally in terms of what is put out and projected on a screen, because I feel as though no matter where people are and what station they are in their life, they're consuming content, right? So it used to be just television sets, but now we're all doing it through our iPads and our phones and all of that, and doing it remotely. And it's access, it's accessibility to content, and to be able to be a part of how that content is put out and what is put out is, to me, extremely, it's humbling for me. It's humbling, but it's also, it's powerful in a way that you can insert a conversation that most people may not have. And so that's how I kind of got into it. I started off doing more casting before reality TV kind of became reality TV, and that led to my love of storytelling and more documentary-style storytelling and talk shows. And from there, I just, you know, thankfully kept going from one to the, you know, from one show to the next and growing and learning. And you mentioned Dr. Phil, Queen Latifah, among, you know, some of the shows that I've done. And, yeah, those are heavy hitters. I mean, those are A-list heavy hitters, and I've learned a lot from both experiences. I was with the Dr. Phil show for about 10 years and completely got my – I would say I got my Ph.D. in talk show from that experience, learned a lot. We were kind of our own little production companies working there in the sense of autonomous and able to truly create. And – you know, Phil is extremely, he's very smart and pointed with what he likes to do. And that really, I think, hones my skill set as a producer, as a writer, as a storyteller. and then going over and shifting into things like Queen Latifah, which was a little, which was lighter fare in terms of more entertainment style, was really bringing in the showmanship of it all, you know, so to speak, you know, the finding those moments that could really make people laugh and feel good about their day. And at the end of the day, though, for me, regardless of who the hostess or hosts are that I am working with, I'm all about taking the best parts of them and fine-tuning it and delivering that to an audience. I am the audience for daytime, so it kind of is helpful for me because I understand what I like. It's not what everybody likes, but I am the viewer, so it's easy for me to fit into that and understand what that is. But at the end of the day, I don't believe in square peg, round hole producing. I don't believe taking someone and trying to fit them into a mold of what you think they should be. I believe in taking who they are and then utilizing that as the launch pad for creating something really good around who they really are. And that also comes from, you know, my development kind of executive side experience as well. I've been on both sides of the table, so I understand the needs of both.
You're hearing my Auntie Joan. She is the executive producer and showrunner of Steve on Watch. That's his Facebook Watch series available on smart TV sets and smart devices now in season 2. She joins us live from the West Hollywood section of Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We have a few more minutes with her, and if you want to get in with a phone call or something in our chat room, go and be in action. 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, sign Apple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our lead guest will be the co-star of the popular BET series from Lena Waithe's 20s, Ashley Haynes. You'll hear about what it's like getting ready for season 2 of that series in 2021. And also, there's a very unique side business she's involved with. Try candles. Very unique candles. We'll hear from her. That's next Friday, October 9th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Plus, we hope to have the TV pilot winners of the Norfolk TV Festival going on next week in Long Island. Anthony, one of the things I think a lot of people want to know about Steve Harvey is what's next for him. He's sort of given off hints that he wants to be, I think, a little more entrepreneurial. He may want to take the Tyler Perry route and do scripted series, maybe run a film studio or his own production company. Others say he may want to, because of his work with radio, operate radio or television stations, i.e. Byron Allen. What's your sense from him as to where he wants to go next?
I'm not 100% sure about where Mr. Harvey would want to go next. He certainly isn't sharing all of that with me, but from the sense of, you know, a lot of the conversations that we have had, I think a lot of what you just mentioned would be somewhat accurate in the sense of he's about uplifting stories, right? You know, as a Black showrunner in this industry myself, and him being, you know, Black, you know, talent and bringing a lot of different voices to life and that experience to life is very important to him. I mean, it's about everyone, but my point is having the platform and opportunity to be able to do it in a way that there may be stories or people that you wouldn't normally hear about, and we have the ability to share those. So I think that a lot of his business ventures are those of going back into communities and uplifting the people within those communities. And for him, if it's done via an entrepreneurial experience, investing in a business, an entertainment project, he'll do all of those things matter, you know, to him in the greater scheme of things. And I think that, again, anything that is uplifting to the person who seems to be the underdog or someone who just needs a chance in life, an opportunity, that is where you will find Steve Harvey. He is one of the most generous people I have ever met in this industry. And again, he's about bringing voice to the voiceless and uplifting the little person in the sense of the person who seems maybe little but has so much to offer, but maybe just needs that one chance or that one opportunity. So I see him getting his hands into a lot of things, quite frankly. Again, anything that involves uplifting people, that's where you'll find Steve Harvey.
And where do you think we'll find you as things go along this decade? You've had experience with talk shows. You've had experience with talk variety. I understand that through some game shows also in the course of your career. As you mentioned, doc filmmaking, because Dr. Phil has that doc style in his background reports and a lot
right.
of research too. Where do you see your career going?
I see my career, well, hopefully it'll be alongside Mr. Harvey for a while. That would be wonderful. And as far as what the future holds, I'm not 100% sure, but I know that we'll always be involved in what is innovative and on the cutting edge. I'm always thinking about what's the next iteration of this medium. And I would certainly like to be a part of that. So whether that is remaining in the streaming digital space, most likely, whether that it remains show running or creating and creating and developing and new content and projects and connecting with new people to be able to do that, that's where you'll most likely find me. Who knows? Maybe one day, maybe I'll be, you know, running a network or studio myself. Who knows? The world is my oyster, Simon. I am... I'm ready to receive it all.
Mm-hmm. A lot of places to go to, including Facebook Watch, which is where you will find Steve on Watch now in season 2. Facebook Watch available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Facebook's own Portal TV that will mark its first anniversary in the marketplace in a couple of weeks. If you want more details about the program online and the rest of Facebook Watch's schedule, here's where you go, www.facebook.com/watch. That's www.facebook.com/watch. Steve on Watch now in season 2 there. I'm Anthony Jones, the executive producer and showrunner of the program. Thank you again for joining us. It's been a delight to have you on. Best to you, Steve, and everybody for a great rest of your second season. Hopefully many more to come. And we'd love to have you back anytime. It has been a delight all the way.
Thank you so much, Simon. It's been a delight as well. Such a pleasure. Thank you for everything.
You're very, very welcome, Anthony. Take care. All the greatest. Best to Steve, and have a wonderful weekend.
Great. You too.
I'm Andy Jones, executive producer and showrunner of Steve on Watch on Facebook Watch, streaming live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow, your show is coming your way, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. One of the great classics of literature, Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, is now an audiobook with the Oscar-nominated actress Rosamund Pike doing the narration. And you can get this very unique audiobook, how? Become a trial member of Audible.com and have that be the book you use for a month or so. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. And all you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's so easy. audibletrial.com/televised. And when you do, you get one free audio book, you get health and wellness information for a limited time only, and that one-month trial with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And, oh, by the way, if you are an Amazon Prime member already, make that two free audiobooks you get with your trial subscription. What a sensational deal. It makes a great gift, too, for you or someone you love. So how about checking out audibletrial.com/televised this weekend and see how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Again, that free audiobook or two. Remember, it's two if you're an Amazon Prime customer. One-month trial. Health wellness, much, much more. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You're listening to Miami Televised. It's the program all about TV's current and future. Happy to have you with us. We're on Mondays and Fridays at this very hour, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we're now wrapping up our second week on Amazon Music, joining 70,000 other wonderful podcasts, series, and specials. And remember, we always love hearing from you, so if you have a comment about our program, email us, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. We have our Cracker Trivia Question of the Week coming your way in our next half hour, but first, guess what? There's a brand new Nickelodeon series that may give SpongeBob SquarePants an underwater run for that character's money. It's called Santiago, that's Santiago of the Seas. We'll have the co-creator and executive producer, Valerie Walsh Valdez, join us live from here in New York, and we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Between the best sports, best the best TV and internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, streaming.com, tuneinradio.com. Together, reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, BTR Jehovah's Sports Time Radio, a lot of action this week. National Football League, college football really flowering, the baseball playoffs, WNBA finals, a lot more, though. Get it all on Sports Talk Radio tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific at Sports Time Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's the BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Once again, that's Sports Time Radio today or tonight, depending on where you are, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Best BTR and Spreaker, YouTube.com. 24/7. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weber, York. 63 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. Plus our classic trivia question. Get your pens and pencils and everything ready because you could be the possibility of winning three prizes before the end of this very day. So stay tuned. We'll have that for you. But right now, time for our next guest. If you have a question or comment for that person, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's hard to believe that for the last 30 years, Nickelodeon has had an incredible run with its original animated tunes. I still remember going to the press conference announcing their first three, all classics now, Doug, The Ren and Stimpy Show, and Rugrats. And there have been so many ever since, including a little thing called SpongeBob SquarePants that still is alive and kicking. Well, starting next Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, there's a brand-new underwater tune that is going to give, I think, SpongeBob a run for the money. It's called Santiago of the Seas. That's Santiago of the Seas. And joining me here in New York to talk about it is someone who has had a great run with Nick, one of the key people who put Dora the Explorer on the map, Go Diego Go, other Nick series on the map, and this one too. The co-creator and executive producer of the series, Valerie Walsh Valdez. Valerie, it's a delight to have you with us.
Thanks, Simon. Glad to be here.
And same here. How long has this been in the works?
Oh, gosh. It's been, I think, 3 years since we started developing the show, and it's a computer-generated animated show, so it takes that long to actually get on screen. So from the original idea to now, it's actually a little over 3 years.
Mm-hmm. How did your work on Dora and Go Diego Go, how did the long run of those two series, how did it influence putting this program together?
Well, Dora and Diego had such a big impact. It wasn't just another kid's show. It was something that parents and educators and caregivers, they all globbed onto too. So it wasn't, you know, just a small little thing that, oh, my kid likes to watch this show. It became sort of a phenomenon. So if you were a parent or had preschoolers in your life, you knew about them. You would go into the store and you would see Diego t-shirts and Dora t-shirts. So thinking about the impact that those shows had and how they started a lot of conversation about knowing a second language and Latino culture, my husband and I, who created the show with me, we wanted to think like, well, could we put that in a new show, something brand new, a completely different atmosphere, completely different storylines and characters, and have that kind of impact? So it was really almost like a challenge, like, could we bring a new show to that audience, which is not just preschoolers, but also their families.
Mm-hmm. The best Nickelodeon tunes bring you, the viewer, whether you're a preschooler or a teen or an adult, into a world that has an incredible variety of possibilities, an incredible variety of characters. What did it take for you and your husband to create the world of Santiago, the undersea world that creature belongs in?
Well, just to be clear, Santiago is a little boy, so he's human. He is he's a good pirate. So the world, it's not really competing with like a SpongeBob world where it is underwater and it's super fantastical. Here there's a lot more realism involved. So we sort of tapped into magical realism, which is what we used in Dora as well. It's like a Latin American feature in a lot of literature and their art. And so it means you have a somewhat realistic world and then little magical things happen. That gives so much opportunity for stories when you're creating a world, because you're not, you know, things don't have to work as they do in the real world. So you can command a ship to move just with your voice by saying a word, and it'll move for you, and you can, you know, encounter like a naughty pirate and somehow save them and get the treasure too, which in a typical pirate story you wouldn't have. So, I mean, this world seems so open to us. Like, there are just so many opportunities, because if you mix pirates plus the magic realism, it's, you know, a lot more endless than if we were trying to do something that was just very, you know, real-based.
How is Santiago similar to Dora, who was always, as the explorer, adventurous, ready to go on journeys, ready to take people along for the ride? And what's different? What is unique about Santiago as a character?
Well, I mean, there definitely are a lot of similarities in that they're the same age. They both happen to be Latino characters. And they do have this adventurous spirit in them. But I think Santiago is just a high-stakes adventure. It's much more of an adventure show where you encounter villains and you have these, you know, seemingly insurmountable obstacles. So it puts you on the edge of your seat and really, you know, you're not sure, is Santiago going to be able to overcome this? Dora was a little more, shall we say, like a gentle storytelling. You did encounter games and puzzles on the way and should have to figure out how to, you know, overcome those to go on her journey. But it wasn't the same kind of high-stakes adventure game. So although there are similarities, of course I do love heroes that combine the adventure with kindness. And one thing about Santiago is he's brave and he's an action hero, but he's also kind and empathetic and inclusive and all those things that, you know, now they're really important. 20 years ago, we didn't talk as much about empathy and inclusiveness, but now with little kids, those are really important traits. So he's got those as well.
Santiago of the Seas. It's Nickelodeon's brand new computer-generated tune for preschoolers and for everybody, really. And the premiere is next Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on cable and satellite systems all over the place. We're speaking with Valerie Walsh-Valdez. She is the co-creator and executive producer of the series. She's live with us here in New York this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Alba with you live also from the Big Apple, 63 degrees at the top of the hour. And we want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, Monday, 90th edition of our program coming your way. We've got two of the key organizers of the North Fork TV Festival. It may end up being the only television festival being done live in the New York metro area, and they're doing it in drive-in style. We have Elias Diagonis. He is the artistic director of the festival. And we'll have Kathleen Burke. She is the producer of one of the pilots that will be shown there called SuperUser.do. Then we'll find out about a series that is premiering its second season today up in Canada on CBC Gem, that is their streaming service. It's called Detention Adventure. We've got the co-creator and executive producer, Joe Nickak, is the co-creator and also director of the series, and executive producer, Lauren Korber. And by the way, starting in a couple of weeks, that series makes its U.S. premiere on HBO Max. And finally, we've got from the new lifestyle filming service, Bespoke TV, co-founder and chief executive officer, Michael Dutcher. That's all coming up Monday, 90th edition of the program All About the Tube, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. And once again, a week from Monday, our lead guest from the ABC revival of Supermarket Sweep, starring Leslie Jones, executive producers Alicia Rossiter and Wes Coble. That's the executive producer of Supermarket Sweep, Alicia Rossiter, Wes Coble, a week from Monday, live and exclusive right here on Tomorrow We Televise. The series premieres on ABC the following Sunday night, October 18th. Bob, what's the fun thing about doing computer animation? You know, I've seen recent computer animated shows on Nick, on other places. It seems that the animation process gets better and better.
I mean, what we can do now, it's incredible because you start to think, even as an adult, this seems like a real person. The acting that they're able to do is so subtle and artful, and we were really lucky because we found a studio over in Malaysia that was able to take our kid actors, their voices, and translate it and imbue so much personality into these characters. So it's not just that they're lip sync, it's that the entire face is expressive. Their whole bodies have, you know, movement and stuff. And I remember when I was watching Coco, I was so inspired. I was like, oh, imagine we could make TV like this, but of course we can't because it's too expensive and it takes too long and stuff. Well, just a couple years later, I feel like when I look at Santiago, it has that level of animation. So in just a few years, we've been able to get to that high bar. So it is really pretty amazing what we're able to do now.
What's it like working with your husband on putting this series together? But also, what's it like working with kids who are the voice, you know, the voice actors?
And also my husband is one of the voice actors, too. He's not a kid. But, you know, it's been a dream come true. Leslie and I started together on Dora when we were asked to make our character Latina, and this is 20 years ago. I had to go out and find a bilingual writer, and that's how I met my husband, Leslie. So he was at the table from day one, season one of Dora, and we spent a few years working on that together. Then he went off and did his own thing. But we've always looked for an opportunity where we'd be able to come do our own thing together. So it's really a dream come true, and we had this very talented artist out at the Nickelodeon studio that we got to work with, and it's been great for the three of us. Working with the kids is a real challenge because, you know, it's a finite amount of time that you get children, and you do have to get a lot of acting out of them in a short amount of time. Some of these kids come in and they are just a natural, and every first take they deliver is right on the money. And then for other kids, you're doing take after take. Thankfully, in this show, we actually had incredible kid actors who all, I would say, they could do a great take, their first, second, or third one. Let's be honest. Not only the first one, but usually by the third. And so, you know, we're really trying to get the kid to preserve the energy and the sincerity and stuff. You can't wear them out too much. So it's a real challenge. Luckily, we had also a really good PO director, and she does a lot of work with kids, and she knows how to get them to the right place. But going, you know, every week to the recording studio and working with these kids, you really feel bonded to them. So when you see them, then as the characters come to life, that's what I'm saying, it seems so lifelike. Like, they're like that, you know, my little Justice, who plays the character Tomas in the show. I'm like, he made that face, and it's so funny that the animators just added that expression to the character. They didn't see Justice make the face, they just heard his voice. But they're able to kind of, you know, imagine, like, oh, maybe he did this, maybe he wouldn't look like this. So so I love working with kid actors. It's something that, you know, not everyone does, and a lot of the shows like Rugrats and others, those they need adults for the kids. But to me, it's very hard to match the real sincerity of a kid voice.
In addition to your husband, there's another big child that you are working with. He is someone who I've always thought is one of the most innovative, unique performers you will see anywhere on any stage, in any medium. That's John Leguizamo. And I understand he has a nice role to play.
Yes, and I couldn't agree with you more. And when we were writing this show, we hadn't spoken to John at all, but we, in our heads, said, oh, imagine if this parrot, he's supposed to be a comic sidekick, was like John. John did a show called Mambo Mouth, like 20 years ago on Broadway, where he played a million different character voices. And we knew he did voiceover. He also did Ice Age and other shows. But we were just playing around. We were just like, oh, imagine him, because he's so funny. So when we were writing it, we had John's voice in our head, what we imagined John would sound like. So then when the network asked us, well, who are we going to cast? And we thought, well, you know, the dream was always John Leguizamo, but he's a big star, and I don't know if he'd do this. And they said, well, let's try. And when he agreed, we were so thrilled and shocked. And then when we actually brought him in for the record, he told us he's playing a bird, a parrot, and he's a sidekick to this very naughty character, Bonnie Bones. And he tells us he loves birds. He has two birds. Like, there couldn't be a better fit for him. And it just seemed like it was kismet that we, you know, had him in our head from the very minute we were writing that character and that he wanted to do the part. So he is incredibly talented, and I have no doubt that he's going to bring a lot of adult eyeballs to the screen for this, because you'll want to check him out after spring. You know, word gets around how funny he is. So.
And he's also developing an interesting relationship, along with other very important people of color, with Viacom CBS, the parent Nickelodeon. In case you missed one of our news notes on our episodes last week, Viacom CBS is planning to produce 100 original made-for-TV movies. Half of them will be showcased Movie of the Week format on the Paramount Network, which will be retitled Paramount Movie Network. There'll be some for MTV, some for Comedy Central, maybe some for Nickelodeon. And the thing is that half of these films will be directed for the first time by women and people of color, who will be working with people like John and Eva Longoria and other, Carter B. Vance, other actors of color who have their own production companies to do this. Again, this will be first-time directors. Again, half of them women, half of them people of color, which will be very, very interesting. So you will hear more, I think, from John in the future about that project, among other things he's working
on. I certainly hope so, because he's so talented. I have no doubt he could do something really great.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, we've been talking about Santiago now for nearly 15 minutes, and we haven't gotten into like some of the adventures that you put your title character in.
Oh, some of the adventures. Well, so Santiago, the premise is that there's this boy who has heard legends of a good pirate named Capitan Calavera. And there was this good pirate on his island who would go and reclaim things that had been taken by bad pirates. And Santiago, because he is so good of heart, because he has such a strong moral compass, he is actually sort of led to find Calavera's old pirate tools and treasure and become the new Capitan Calavera, so the new good pirate of his home island. So Santiago is out on the high seas. He's encountering these naughty pirates. We've got Bonnie Bones. We have Enrique Real de Palacios III, who's a very greedy megalomaniac who just goes out and wants to take other people's stuff because he likes to collect gadgets and gizmos and show off all of his treasures. And then there's an underwater pirate called Escarlata La Pirata, who when Santiago has to go retrieve treasures from her and she's trying to take over the high seas, he brings with him his friend Lorelei, who is a mermaid that can transform into human form. And then Santiago also brings along his cousin, who's like a sidekick slash first mate. And it's this trio of kids, Santiago, Tomas, and Lorelei, who are out there encountering these villains and reclaiming lost treasures, instead of writing the world. So it's pitched for preschoolers, but I'd say that the adventures are pretty sweeping and epic, and I think even maybe slightly older kids will like the show. We've taken it out and we've tested it with kids, and they seem, you know, riveted by it. It's got a lot of a lot of heart and a lot of friendship values in there. And little kids love that stuff. And I think little kids also really like the fact that the good guy is winning. So these other pirates are bullies. And Santiago always manages in the end to, you know, be the hero. So I think little kids feel very satisfied with that.
Could you foresee a Santiago Dora crossover episode? You know, we're in this era of all sorts of crossover episodes and drama or comedy shows in primetime. You wonder, you know, having heard you talk about what this series is all about, and because you did Dora or Go Diego Go, a Santiago Dora or Santiago Diego crossover.
You know, you are the first person to ever bring this up, Simon. I have to say, nobody's mentioned this to me before. It's a pretty genius idea, I admit. I'm also just starting to work on rebooting Dora, so, you know, kind of refreshing the original property. So I'll put that in the back of my head as I do that. And see, but remember, Dora was done in 2D, and Santiago is a CG show. So I don't know if you've noticed when you've seen the crossover, sometimes the characters don't fit in the worlds that they cross into. So you have to be really careful of that. But I will think about that. They would be great playmates. They would totally get along together. I know that.
Before you go, Valerie, is there a particular life lesson that you hope kids watching will get out of this series?
I think most importantly that you should do your best to be good and to be kind-hearted, and in the end, you will be better off for it, and that you get so much more when you do the right thing than if you are just going for, you know, to find a shiny gold treasure. Like the values of friendship and community and family are the real treasures out there. So that's what I'm hoping little kids are going to take away from this. They'll also take away learning some Spanish words, having an appreciation for Latino culture. But I think the most important thing are those values that you want to instill in preschoolers about learning right from wrong, and that actions have consequences, and that you're often faced with making a choice and how you think about coming to a decision. So that's really, I think, the most important takeaway for little kids, besides the fun aspect, the entertainment aspect. But if we're talking about, you know, values and lessons, like that's, I think that's the paramount one.
Yep, can't go without the fun. As the paraphrase, the famous Mary Poppins song, spoonful of fun helps keep the lesson go down. Definitely works that way. And so we go. Santiago of the Seas, it's Nickelodeon's new preschool tune, and it begins a week from today, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nickelodeon. Check your local news for aware that service available in the area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, very simple, www.nick.com. www.nick.com. Santiago of the Seas, next Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Valerie Walsh-Valdez, co-creator, executive producer of the series, thank you again for joining us. It's been a delight all the way. Best to you and your husband and all the crew for making it, and the cast for making it happen. And hopefully next Friday is the beginning of a wonderful long run, and maybe we'll get that crossover along the way.
Thanks so much, Simon. It was a pleasure.
Same here, Valerie. Take care. Best to everyone, and have a great, great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Valerie Walsh-Valdez of Santiago of the Seas joining us live here in New Web, New York. Before we go, now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We have three prizes in play. We introduced the question on Tuesday, and the question is this. Name two of Entertainment Tonight's original co-hosts. There were three of them when the show premiered 40 years ago last month. Name two of Entertainment Tonight's original three co-hosts when it premiered 40 years ago. First correct answer wins you three great episodes of Fish Tank Kings from Nat Geo Wild and two best-selling books, Becoming Ginger Rogers, How Ballroom Dancing Made Me a Happier Woman, Better Partner and Smarter CEO by Patrice Tanaka, and the book from one of our guests last week, former Comedy Central Senior Vice President Art Bell. It's called Constant Comedy. And all three of those prizes can be yours. All you got to do is come up with the correct answer and then email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose your name and your mailing address, because if we do, you will win. And if you've won before, please let somebody else win. Give them the opportunity to make something possible by being a prize winner. And if we don't have a winner by the end of the day, we will post the question, if need be, all weekend, starting tomorrow morning, at Facebook, at Simon Appledown, and on Twitter, at UBC Simon TWBT. UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. One more time, the question, name two of Entertainment Tonight's three original co-hosts 40 years ago. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Be in the win, and all the very best. One thing, Valerie. One thing, Anthony Jones, for being with us all this hour. And thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, 90 Edition coming your way on our next episode of Monday. We'll have two of the key organizers of the North Fork TV Festival, Assistant Director Elias Pagliolos, and Kathleen Burke, also producer of Supervisor of Super User Do. Also, from the CBC Gem series, Detention Adventure, coming to HBO Max later this month, co-creator and director Nick Jonica and executive producer Lauren Korber. And finally, from the new lifestyle service on smart TV sets and devices, Bespoke TV, co-founder and chief executive officer Michael Dutcher. Coming up next Friday, 20s co-star Aisha Haynes, and the following Monday, October 12th, we will have exclusively as our lead guest the executive producer of ABC's revival of Supermarket Sweep with Leslie Jones, Alicia Rossiter, and Wes Carville, both executive producers. If you came in late on today's episode, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage anytime you like. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com. Excuse me, there, a little tongue twisting. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, anytime this weekend, check us out on podcast. We're available on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio at iHeartRadio.com, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com, Speaker Podcast, Apple TV, and iTunes. And we want to hear from you. What do you think about our show today, our guests? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? Don't forget to email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon WBT. We always respond when you get involved. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toad's Blog Talk Radio's general manager is Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of BTR, Al Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a 1 month trial with 1 or 2 audiobooks, 2 if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, plus health and wellness material and more, it's Audible.trial or audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Check it out today, this week at the latest. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for having a fantastic weekend. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you have to do between now and then, please make it safe, make it great. Long more than ever, let's lift this pandemic. Because we need to, and make that now and forever. So be well, stay safe, and until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.